This is Bloody Podcast, a podcast about women's involvement in crime, the occult, mythology, and dark history. Every episode, we examine the life of a notorious feminine figure who shook the world or the underworld for better or worse.
Bloody Podcast is back. I'm your host, Maria, with co-hosts Lori and Cash.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. And today, for our first episode back, we're covering Amy Carlson and the cult she created, Love Has Won. An HBO documentary was released in 2023 about the life, cult, and death of Amy. But before that, there was a Vice short released in March of 2021. The Vice one is actually the one that originally sent me down the Mother God rabbit hole. I remember because I was, remember that inn that we, it wasn't really an inn, Cash, the one we stayed in San Diego. It was like the inn at San Diego and where we heard that couple fighting next door about how.
Yes.
They
yes.
were.
Yes.
See, so Lori, the couple next door was fighting the whole time because I guess they were an older couple. And they had spent, he kept saying that, like, it was her fault that she was like, I hate this hotel. We need to go somewhere nicer.
Why can't we go to New York? Why can't we go to New York?
Yeah.
San Diego is the New York of California.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So that's when I saw the Vice one.
That's when you saw, okay.
That's. And I spent a lot of that weekend reading all of the Reddit forums and everything that was much more active back then. Cause that was like 2021.
Yeah.
Right after or right around the death part. Yeah. Right after the death. Cause that's when Vice first reported it.
I kind of started on the Dr. Phil episode.
Oh, because, you started way, way back.
Yeah. Well, just like having an idea of who this person was. And then you started hearing rumblings that she was dying or she was dying or she was sick or dying. And her cult essentially had taken over. So like, it was like the, you know, the chickens are running the hen house sort of thing. Like the, she was at the mercy of her cult now. So it was like a reverse cult where the cult leader was now not in charge.
That was the most fascinating. That's the most fascinating thing about this. For
this,
sure.
Yeah. This cult, I would say, is different than any other cult I've ever seen. Like, it is the best version of what a cult could be. And that's just.
Are you sure?
Yes. Honestly, I mean, cults are not good.
So now that the HBO documentary is out, most who saw it were probably left questioning the timeline, where the group members ended up, and most importantly, how bad did things actually get? In Lori's case, they don't seem like
no.
She thought they were that bad.
I feel like this is the only cult I've seen where things are better for them. Like, they're all flourishing, basically. Spoiler.
Okay, well,
except for Amy, but yes.
Yeah, she flourished for a while. I don't necessarily agree with Lori, so I tried.
We got it. We're back, baby. We're back.
Hot takes.
Yes.
This show should just be called "Oh Yeah."
Yeah. Or why is Lori wrong?
No, I don't think Lori is wrong. Apparently, you know, the people who still believe in Mother God also don't think Lori is wrong.
Fair.
So here's the timeline that I put together and basically why I think this place is just another cesspool of humanity, honestly.
Like, yes.
Okay. So let's start with Amy. Amy was born in Kansas and was the eldest of three sisters. And I'll kind of gloss over some of this stuff that was in the documentary. So if you haven't seen the HBO documentary, and you're very curious about this case, most of you will have been here for the reverse reason of that, hopefully, where you saw HBO documentary and you're like, I want to know more, because that documentary was absolute bullshit. Because yes. I mean, I won't call it bullshit. That is a terrible, that's a bad word to use. I understand that the filmmaker had to make a choice. Either have the people talk open that were in the cult, talk openly about the cult, or show the bad side of all of them.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely was a video where if I didn't know better, I felt like it was like, oh, you're for cults. Like you like cults.
Yeah. You're cool with these people. You were probably a part of these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was the eldest of three sisters. Her parents divorced when she was young, and later a custody battle ensued. Amy at first split her time, but experienced abuse at the hands of her stepmother. So the girls stayed with their mom from then on. And then her mom eventually remarried, and they had a pretty good life. Eventually, the family moved to Kansas. And although she would thrive in many aspects of her life, Amy developed an eating disorder in her teen years. Later, the eating disorder would resurface if it had ever been suppressed and play a major role in the cult and her death. So after childhood, she had a rough start. By her early 20s, she had three kids from three fathers and was working as a general manager at McDonald's.
Yeah, they really pushed in the documentary. They really pushed like McDonald's that if it was like, yeah, that's a great company to work for. Like
it's a great job.
They're trying to get like sponsorship.
Like and basically kind of intimate throughout the entire thing that like the things that she learned from McDonald's, she like used in the cult.
They're not wrong.
No, I mean, it's also like weird to be like the leadership skills that she got from McDonald's helped her with the cult. I'm like, well, okay.
Maybe she took one of the videos that they show people when they first start there. How did that work? She took that to the cult and they were just like, yeah, dude, I think I can make this work.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, is McDonald's not the most successful cult in the world?
That's true.
Could you call them a cult? Could you like make that stretch?
That is true. Yeah.
I mean, unless we're looking for a McDonald's sponsorship, in which case it's the best tasting cult I've ever been a part of.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But they definitely, you're right, Lori. They definitely do that. And like, they make it seem like Lori extracted only the most devious and genius tactics from her general manager training.
You said Lori which I did love. I love that my name.
No, I meant to say Lori. Say that you're right, Lori, comma.
Oh. I thought you meant like Lori took the most devious. And I was like, yes, I am a cult leader.
You are. But the reality is, at least in my opinion, and they show it in the documentary, is that Amy was always just popular. She was a popular, pretty girl once she hit like teenage years, you know?
Yeah.
So she was just probably just kind of like mean and manipulative in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
So she did well in her social setting of a managerial position. But I guess, unsurprisingly, she wanted something more. So around 2006, maybe 2007, she started spending a lot of time on a website named lightworkers.org. And this site, if you look it up on Internet Library, on the Internet Archive, it's one of those old websites where you can have like a blog, a scheduled live stream, like a chat room. And then there's other forums on the site. They're like super old school sites. You guys remember those?
Yeah.
It was back when the internet was still flourishing and people had just started spending like hours on AOL, MSN, and other chat rooms. And lightworkers.org was essentially those plus a place where you could drop your own HTML.
Yeah. I also just love like this cult is just very like computer and Wi-Fi aware, internet aware. Like it's like they're very much like, yeah, their Wi-Fi never went out. Like, they always had good Wi-Fi.
Right.
Yes.
It's the cult of a new generation.
Yeah.
Truly, truly, it is. The cult of the internet age.
So far, for casting her, I'm between Renee Zellweger. That could go at some point, because I know that she already has some history with doing some of this stuff, and I kind of want somebody new. And possibly Jennifer Jason Leigh.
That could be, yeah.
So as the website grew and people met on and offline with their mutual New Age beliefs, the owner of the site started leading retreats and partnered with other New Age speakers for all sorts of events around the world. Even if you go to their website now, there's an old poster left up about their last event that was like in Tulum and a few other parts of the world. Then they're just like, I don't understand what they are. I guess it's probably like a mix of like meditation and yoga and lectures about whatever the hell that spiritual speaker is there to speak about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what, like, I don't get that spirit, like a spiritual speaker, do they just go like, open up your third eye? And everyone's like, true, true. I should do
that. Yeah.
Like, I don't. Like, how long do these things have to go for?
Like days.
Oh, my God.
Weeks.
Oh, my God.
It's frustrating because I understand people are just like, I got trauma built on top of trauma and I got to try and deal with this stuff. And you could just take some of those philosophies and beliefs and then take that and then move on. But then they're just like, nah, but I still got more. And you're like, oh, God, you're going to get sucked into this thing.
You're going to get sucked in.
I'm like 5 seconds away at any given time to be sucked into a cult. I don't know why, but I just feel like every moment of my life is just me going, no, that feels like a cult. I can get sucked in. That's why I don't do.
They're handing you samples in the grocery store. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's why I don't do anything fun, because I'm so worried it's a cult and I'm going to get sucked in, that I'm like, no, I can't go to your concert. Like,
what do you mean you feel happy there with a group of people?
Yeah.
Cult.
Cult.
You just scream that all the time. Cult. Cult. Cult.
Cult. Fire. Cult.
I mean, I think at the retreats, a lot of the times they probably had people who were specific to, you know, a belief system, like whether that be Buddhism or whatever. So I think those speakers, they got once in a while, legit ones.
Yeah.
But then they just mishmashed it with stuff, the same thing they did on the website. So they used terms like indigo revolutionaries, crystal children.
Ugh.
They called themselves, or they called things star seeds, and they called themselves rainbow warriors.
Oof, okay.
Just this, yes.
But BT Devs, that sounds like a really great cartoon of like a gay military group called the Rainbow Warriors.
I would love that. I would love that. That'd be so great.
They spill their star seed everywhere.
Yeah.
And they make everything, make everything great.
Yeah. And just everything's black and white until the Rainbow Warriors show up, and then it's color.
We're open to everything except terror.
It's an indigo revolution, baby.
Love it.
Also, I just think it's like, I don't know. I always boil things down to like the id. So part of me is like, yeah, it's probably about like, you know, connecting with yourself and all that stuff. But mostly I think it's just about like old, dusty white people want to do a bunch of drugs and have butt sex. Like, exactly. I think that's probably mostly what it is.
Exactly. And then talk about it openly in front of everyone the day after.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
That's a lot, dude. This is breakfast.
Yeah. Oh my God. Have you ever had somebody tell you about a sexual experience and you're like, I'm eating?
Yes. Yes. Immediately. That's exactly what I thought about. Breakfast. Have
you
ever...
I don't know how you, I'm not asking you guys about your sexual proclivities, but have you ever had somebody talk to you about something and you're just like, oh, I guess I just like sex. I don't like love it. Like, you're just like, I'm not as sexual as I thought I was. Like, you are crazy sexual.
I think we're both fairly sexual, but we don't have, I've never had that issue where I'm like, that's too much. I'm just like, that's cool. It's also just 9 a.m. and I have a mouthful of eggs.
I made a face when you asked that, Lori, because I have been the one to do the, we had sex And it's like 9 a.m. and everybody just camped out overnight and they're trying to eat their fucking beans.
Yeah.
That's funny. And I'm like, yeah, we fucked last night.
This is in the tent. This is asking.
I know exactly when that was. Exactly when that was.
This is asking to stop, Maria. This is an intervention.
Please. Heard and seen. I'm so sorry, friends.
Well, Star one time was just like, she was talking to her coworkers and she was just like talking about something. And she's like, oh yeah, we put up a thing in our wall to tie rope around or something like that. And then she was like, everyone just started staring at her. And she's like, I feel like I made myself seem kinkier than we actually are. And I was like, I feel like I should show up and be like, we've used it 4 times, everyone. Like, we're not crazy. So I mean, I don't know.
you go back, you have to tell them when you use it again.
Yeah. All right. We used it again, but it was
months in between.
Yeah. We're like serial killers. There's a cooling off period.
Yeah, that's funny.
So in 2013, more about the website. This is the last tidbit. It's just, I spent a lot of time on there. In 2013, Google demonetized lightworkers.org. Mm. And so they got a scummier ad source for a while until they were red flagged in 2023 for hosting malware on their site. So they only got shut down last year.
Wow.
And they started back around 2004.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's crazy.
20 years.
Yeah.
21 years on the internet.
That's wild. Jesus.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's lasted longer than AOL. Really?
The days of the Wild West of the internet are truly over.
They truly are.
Yeah.
Let's lament. So back to 2007. In 07, Amy meets a guy on Lightworkers going by the name of Amarith White Eagle. After a few months of talking with him and other members of the site, she begins referring to herself as Amelia, Leah for short, and posting about how she hears a call to action to leave her family that she referred to as her, quote, the illusion of 3D existence. That's what she lived in, the illusion of 3D existence. Mm. And she wanted to go and live fully in the fifth dimension. So 07, she's already talking about fifth dimension bullshit.
I'm sure it was only when she had to do like responsible shit.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, her whole life is responsible shit. Mm-hmm. She has she's a GM at McDonald's and she's got 3 kids. Mm-hmm. I don't think the dad, definitely 2 of the dads were not consistently around by this. Like she had the third, she had one, this, sorry, she had the dad of the youngest child around still.
Okay.
But her mom, I think in the documentary says like, she was never super maternal. Yeah. She left the kids wherever all the time. So she hated responsibility and she kind of fucked herself because she like, you know, she had the 3 kids. It's not totally her fault. But, I mean, she didn't want kids. She clearly did not want the kids.
Yeah.
I just think she didn't. She just wanted to be taken care of. She didn't want to take care of somebody.
Which is why she chose such a great company to work for.
McDonald's. Yeah. No, please sponsor us, McDonald's. We love you. We're loving it.
I also kind of get it. You know, she grew up in Texas. You know, there's not, if you don't get an education after high school, you're not going to be able to do much. And she, you know, she already had the kids by her early 20s. So.
Right.
I mean, could you imagine the kind of trauma? I feel like if I had kids when I was 20, I probably would also have joined a cult or started a cult. I don't know. I probably would have been like the trauma of like, you're barely an adult. You're just figuring out what the fuck you're supposed to be doing. And like, you just, then now you're taking care of, now you're wholly responsible for a human being. Like that is 3 human beings. That's terrifying.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Really, I would want to run away all the time too. But on her lightworkers.org blog, she posted her plan to leave. And she wrote about how she had heard a voice telling her that she will be the president of the United States. And she even posted the date that she was flying out. She posted the date that she's like, I'm abandoning my family. It's going to be December 17th, 2007. I'm flying to Colorado to be with Amarith. And we're going to be together forever. And we're going to rule the new world. And she did. December 17th, she fucking took off.
That's that's my brother's birthday. That tracks.
Yeah.
But she also did it in like the weirdest way possible, where in the documentary, they say that they're like having a birthday dinner or something. And she just goes, "Excuse me, everyone. I have to go now."
She was so excited to do it. She said, "Fuck you," to everybody. And was like, "I'm out of here."
Just
goodbye,
leaves.
Goodbye, everybody. Yeah. Goodbye.
The waitress at Chili's is like, "Is she coming back?"
She didn't pay for her Long Island.
She didn't. She had like three of them.
I wish there would have been like, they would have thrown stories in like that of just some random waitress being like, "I'm still waiting for my $23.03.
That would have been so fucking funny. She ordered three of them. And on the third one, she asked for extra limes. I had to cut them up myself.
That's like the only thing she remembers about.
She's come in with her family being so traumatized.
Yes.
She would have gone on Dr. Phil and been like, "Are you guys paying? And who's paying? It got taken out of my check."
What if they're on Dr. Phil and there's a hand from the audience? She stands up and she's wearing the Chili's uniform. She's like, "Remember me?"
So Amy leaves her kids behind with her mom and the father of the youngest child. In Colorado, Amy, now Leah, starts anew with Amarith White Eagle. Surrounded by a few other people, they start referring to themselves as Mother God and Father God. And the group that they're like hanging out with is known as the Guiding Federation of Light. They live and work in a motel in Crestone and spend the majority of their time drinking, living a carefree lifestyle with little to no responsibilities, except posting online about their latest shit, like their latest beliefs.
C'est la vie.
And also drinking like and doing drugs all the time.
Yeah, like, they're just they're drunk. Drugs. They're drunk and on something all the time. And they live in a motel, which is the grossest place to have to live. Ugh. It sucks to live in a motel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they love it. So I don't remember how much they covered this, but Crestone is a type of spiritual mecca for people from all walks of life. The town is nestled at the western base of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, which is Spanish for Blood of Christ. They're named for the red hue the peaks of the mountains get at sunset.
Oh.
The highest peak of the mountain, Blanca Peak, is sacred to the Hopi and Navajo tribes. Despite becoming a gold mining town in the late 1800s, the area has always been host to people with a focus on spirituality. So it's a big, kind of mecca. In the 70s, after the gold was long gone, a couple by the name of Maurice and Han Strong bought 200,000 acres of land at what was predicted to be a loss in money. When they arrived, a mystic, like a guy, just came up to them by the name of Glenn Anderson and told Han that about a decade earlier, he had predicted that a foreigner, aka Han, would arrive and turn Crestone into a spiritual crossroads. And he said, "What took you so long?"
I'm imagining Gandalf. Yeah, he's like, yes. "My name is Glenn. Where have you been?" Jesus.
So the Strongs set up the Manitou Foundation, which allocates grants to different religious orders that want to build a center in the area. Now Crestone is a major center for practitioners of Zen Buddhism, Taoism. There's several Native American sanctuaries. There's even Catholicism, and there's a center for like almost every religion. So needless to say, with so much psychic and spiritual energy in one place, the area will undoubtedly attract all kinds of people. like people who like to live in motels and just get drunk and high all day.
Don't forget the butt sex.
And call it all meditation. Most of the areas surrounding Crestone are difficult to buy property in for this very reason. The associations in the area normally only allow organizations who are already proven nonprofits to take residence there. And I think this plays a big key because from the start, Amy starts in Colorado, in Crestone, in this holy place. And she's going to spend a long time trying to get back there after like essentially being a vagabond, surviving off of donations from other people.
Yeah.
So it would be extremely difficult for Amy and Amaranth's group of followers to own land there. Mm-hmm. There. Mm-hmm. So according to somebody on the Love Has One Reddit that claims to have visited them during this time, this was like one of the posts that happened like a long time ago. It's not recent. It's not from when after the documentary came out and everything got more saturated with like people just asking questions. Anyway, so this guy says that he visited Amaranth and Amy, hoping to find Mother God as like a yoga loving, clean eating, perfect picture of health, and was disappointed to find the couple lived in filth, ate things like hot dogs and canned chili for dinner almost every night, and were full of hateful speech against others.
That's what I love. That's what I love the most about this cult is that they just very much like just accept Amy for who she is. You know, they're just like, I mean, they excuse it away by saying like, oh, she's taking on the hate from the world. And it's like,
yeah,
by calling me a bitch for burning her quesadilla.
Yes. Yes.
It's insane. It's insane. You fucking cut, motherfucker. That was some guy in Boston who doesn't like black people. It's like, yeah. What are you talking about?
What?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. But it's just like funny that they're just like, yeah, this is just who she is. She's got to be mean sometimes. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, she has to extract it all from her body.
That's so insane.
I think I'm going to tell my students that's when I'm mad at you, that's the world. I'm expressing the world's, pain.
I'm equating this to like when I was younger, I remember I got a job, like one of the first jobs I got, I was like, in 15 or something like that. I got a job in an ice cream place and the guy who owned the store was just like, you know, we do a lot of business here. You can save a lot of money for college and blah, blah, blah. And then he farted in front of me.
What?
He just like farted in front of me. And he was just like, went on with his conversation. And I was like, what the fuck was that? And then another guy who worked there was just like, yeah, that's just who he is. He just does that in front of everybody.
Oh, and my
I'm
God.
Equating that with Mother God.
No, I mean,
that's basically it. That's not what I was expecting.
Yeah. And nobody's addressing it.
Nobody's talking about it.
Everyone's just like, yeah, that's him.
To be fair, that was the farts of 1,000 sinners that he laid upon the ice cream shop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It did smell like the farts of 1,000 sinners.
He was farting for all the legs. Yeah, my dad's been doing that lately where he's just like, he was a big farter. I'm not saying he never was, but now he's just doing it in public. And he like, he'll just be walking and then he's like a toddler. He'll be walking and then he'll just like lift his leg up and just lay the biggest fart.
So ridiculous that they lift the leg. You don't need to do that.
Yeah. I'm like, Dad, what the hell? We're in public. Like,
it's fine.
There are people. He's like, oh, well, what do you want? Better out than in. I was like, in for the time being. Fart in your car like everyone else.
He's like, you know, Lori, I'm going to start. This is my dad impression of your dad. I never met him. You know, Lori, I'm going to start a cult. It's called First Farters.
Yeah, my dad would love to start a cult. That would be his dream.
A cult for farting.
Yeah.
Okay. It'd be tremendous.
Between 2011 and 2014, Amy and Amaranth lived in Colorado, Eugene, Oregon, and Dunesmore, California, which is a town a few miles from Mount Shasta, another area known apparently for its spiritual occurrences. I never knew Mount Shasta was known for stuff, but
no. I feel like you could just pretty much go anywhere. I mean, I feel like you could
say
go,
that.
Yeah. I feel like you could go to like, you know, some AMPM in Orlando and be like, there's a lot of spirituality coming out of this place.
So it's unclear how they managed to live, but I'm guessing that they moved around to all these places because it was wherever other members of the Galactic Free Press, what they called themselves, had space for them. And they just lived off, they were just couch surfers, and they lived off donations sent by their believers. And not one to stop at one name, Amy, aka Amelia, aka Leah, aka Mother God, began claiming now to be a reincarnation of Jesus. That's when this shit started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, it was when she came and started being around Amareth that she was like, oh, I'm Mother God.
Yes.
Yeah. And wasn't Amareth the first person that was like, Amy, you're brilliant, which BD dubs. I didn't realize how many people in the world will just change their whole fucking life for somebody who calls them brilliant.
Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Well, that's the thing. I guess that's a big thing.
Yeah.
You want somebody to believe in you so bad.
I mean, I don't know. I guess you could call it unhealthy or healthy or whatever, but I have the amount of self-esteem where if somebody called me brilliant, I'd be like, what the fuck do you want?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Immediately. Yeah. Immediately. That's,
yeah.
Like, I would never be like, wow, I am brilliant. I'd be like, you're trying to get me to buy something.
Yeah. That's my immediate thought too. You're really smart. What do you want? What do you want?
You're smart, man.
Yeah.
What do you want? Immediately, you can only hear them talk with a transatlantic accent.
Yeah. You say, hey, see, you got to get on this right now. See?
Y'all are a real smart fella.
This is free energy. What are you doing? You're wasting your time.
Free energy. It's all around us.
You're leaving energy on the table.
In 2014, Amy left Amareth. They broke up.
Oh.
That's it.
Yeah. That was rough. That was hard. It was in that moment. I was like, maybe love isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, no.
I remember that dip.
Yeah. You can tell the different alliances online because some people will be like, Amareth left Amy. And then other people will be like, Amy left Amareth. But there is one little like gossip nugget. And I say all these online things because these people lived online. So if they're going to spread their cult word through it, then I'm going to use everything that they spread around as part of this report.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's only fair. So one online rumor says that Amareth had tried bringing around another girlfriend. And Amy was not having it.
No.
Yeah. He tried to do like a second Mother God thing.
Right. He's like, how about a little bit of this? She's like,
sister
nope.
God.
Yeah. And if have you guys seen the that cartoon that it's like wow, shit, what's the name of it? It's on Netflix. It's by the same people who made The Simpsons. It's Disenchanted.
Yeah.
Disenchanted.
I've seen the first season of it.
So Amareth looks like the guy with no eyes from prison who likes to feel things.
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
I haven't seen it, but that's a great description of whatever character that is.
He's just like a long-haired weirdo who's like gets off on feeling stuff. And
oh, God.
I love the hubris of men because he lucks out by convincing this young woman to move across state to live with him, and then goes, but can I do it again? Maybe I could do it again. It's like, you've struck gold, Amareth.
I have a feeling that Amareth like had always done this. Like he's always just kind of been like a shitty dude and like charismatic enough to like keep convincing women to like be with him for a while until they're like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
You ruined my life.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll just call it like I see it.
Mm-hmm. So both of them are drunk every day. And I can't imagine the relationship was easy either because of that. You're drunk every day. You're going to fight all the time.
Wait, what are you talking about? I'll say you.
So after they split up, this is when Amy started creating her own doctrine of beliefs and had a few boyfriends in succession that she would each name Father God. Eventually, she began talking to Miguel Lamboy, who was already another member of the Galactic Free Press Forum. But Miguel, aka Michael, aka Michael Silver, later on, he claimed that Amy had cured his stage 4 lung cancer and was just like the most vocal of her followers calling for donations for the miracle that was Amy. As donations from believers of Amy's increased, Miguel would position himself as the money manager for the funds obtained by the organization led by Amy and her most devout followers. So here's a little timeline jump for some tea about her early followers. So Miguel hooks up with another early follower named Abigail. Abigail Lowe's is the girl with the British accent in the documentary.
Okay.
Oh.
And if you remember, she's like the one that's like most questioning, really. She's like the one that you could tell is like, I'm not in this cult anymore. So,
Oh, is that the girl with the red hair?
Or she has blonde hair and a British accent.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's her and that one girl who wasn't allowed to eat pizza and she realized it was a cult.
She left quick.
Nobody
was allowed to eat pizza.
Why the fuck not? We're having hot dogs.
But that was the early days.
That's literally her. She is me. Like that would be the moment where I'd be like, this is not right.
Everything's all wrong.
Yeah. They didn't allow her to eat pizza. And she was like, no, this is a cult. Yeah. And I'm out of here.
She's like, I'm going to go to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my favorite.
So there are former members. There are rumors that state that the child Miguel, so in the end when Amy, we all know Amy dies and then Miguel goes to the police, right? When as part of his complaint to the police, he says that the cult members have his child hostage, right?
Okay.
That's wait, we'll jump to that later, but that child is actually his and Abigail's and was never taken hostage at all. The baby already lived in the house all the time. It just stayed with other members because they all took care of the baby collectively. So maybe they wouldn't let him take it. But anyway, when Abigail was pregnant in the first place, Amy had prophesied that she would have twins and that they would be born without a soul. And Miguel was so devout that he believed this and he never treated the child right.
Wow.
And ever since that point, the like former members say ever since Amy spewed that bullshit about her kid being born without a soul, Abigail doubted Amy. She stayed in the cult because obviously, I mean, she's part of this big communal group already. And now the father of her child is there, even though he's an idiot, you know, I can see why she'd stay. But it makes sense why later on when we see her in the documentary, she's like, yeah. It all got kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's a bit odd.
I love how everyone's just like, she ascended when she died. She goes, she ascended. And then the British girl's like, oh, she died.
Yeah. Yeah.
She died.
Back in 2014, a guy named Andrew Profaci joins the group after going on a spiritual journey following a car crash he was involved in. He spent 10 months as Amy's new Father God. In an interview with The Independent, Andrew said that he saw Amy as one of the most brilliant people ever. But even in 2014, she was already drinking and smoking pot heavily, and her health was beginning to fade. He said that while sober, Amy was one of the most brilliant people he had ever met. After dinner, Amy, when she would start drinking, was a different abusive Amy altogether.
Previously on After Dinner Amy. Fucking bastard!
Where's my chicken? Cut it!
You fucking bastard motherfuckers!
Yeah. Well, she was just... I mean, she was consuming so much alcohol and drugs, and everyone else was on drugs. So they were like, and to take so many drugs that other people who are also doing a lot of drugs are like, you're doing too much. It's like,
yeah,
that shows you the level that, she was just essentially, you know, rotting from the inside out.
It's like, so gross. She wasn't, she started not eating. I think this probably started resurfacing back up after like Amaranth, you know, maybe.
Yeah. You see a lot of like things that they did that they were like, this is part of the, like the divineness. But then you're just like, oh, it's just because so many people were being added on, you know, they were like, we're only allowed to eat so many things because, you know, you have to make your soul, you have to be a certain weight to make your soul clean. And it's like, no, it's just because they didn't want to buy so much fucking food for 20 people. That's why.
they say in the documentary, right? The pizza girl, she's like, Miguel told me that we didn't spend money on things like that.
Yeah.
It's like, what, dude?
Yeah. Pizza? I mean, that's my favorite scene, I think, of the whole thing, is that you can just tell that's the moment when she's like, I'll stay here for the drugs, but I know this is a cult.
I'll be back for the drugs. I'm going to go to 7-Eleven real quick.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I'll be to 7-Eleven real quick. She's like, what's that smell on your breath? Chicken wings? Chicken wings. It's not pizza. It's not pizza.
It's salvation.
She was also the only person who was like, liver disease will cause your body to, you can't walk. It'll destroy your nervous system. Everyone else is like, she's just taking on the pain of the world. Amy's taking on the pain of the world.
Yeah.
From 2016 to 2018, the cult continues to grow. Most members are remote and tune in for the cult's daily live streams, which go on for most of the day.
No. Wow.
Amy demands that everyone participate in live streams and to leave their cameras and mics on as much as possible. Like, even if you're just making dinner or like whatever, spending time with your kids, she's saying, leave your mic on, leave your camera on, leave your speaker on, and listen to us dribble on and on and on and on.
I'd love it if somebody like worked at like a law firm or something like that, and they have a computer and they have like a camera and they have to keep it on as all this is happening.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, that's essentially what it, like, people will just have, like, my aunt, they used to have a feed. I think it was like on, what's the other streaming? It's like, it's not HBO, but it's
Showtime. It starts
with Showtime. On Showtime, they used to have like the streaming thing for Big Brother where they would just do 24/7 streaming. And she would have it on 24/7. She would just have like, she'd just watch them sleep.
Who was it? Like,
it was
the Big Brother people?
Yeah, it was the Big Brother, but it was like a feed that you could watch 24/7.
I remember that. It was so, it's so weird. It was so weird. Like,
it was so weird.
Yeah. I remember, was it the Big Brother After Dark thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all like, ugh. Yeah. It's so weird.
Gross. She would have it on her iPad all the, like all the time. Like, we'd be watching a movie and she would just be like holding her iPad, just checking in on the Big Brother house. And I'm just like, what are they doing? She's like, sleeping. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Play Sims at that point.
Yeah. Jesus. Do something.
Yeah. But you're doing this, and you also have Amy and her like followers that live with her, like talking all day about how Amy is the creator of the universe. She is Robin Williams. She's fucking, and she's Jesus. She was Marilyn Monroe. She is the daughter of Trump, in the past life. She's all fucking day, like 9 or 10 hours a day. You're hearing this dribble. And it becomes stuck in your mind. And it's definitely her early stage brainwashing method.
Yes.
So I see why that's the reason it's playing for hours a day. So it just gets stuck in there. So the cult goes through a few more name changes. First, they were after Galactic Free Press, they were the First Contact Ground Crew. and then they became the Galactic Federation of Light until late 2015 when they registered the domain for lovehasone.org. In 2016, Amy claimed their original website had been stolen and they were now known as like they had like the First Contact Brew website and it got stolen. So now they're like, okay, now we're officially Love Has One. So they bought the domain in 2015. They rolled out the new campaign in 2016. And now they're like, we got it.
We did it, everyone.
We're Love Has One.
Love Has One. Yeah.
Literally, Love Has One, guys.
The cult members go on with business as usual for a while. And the core members live in a constant state of inebriation, as we've talked about. And despite claiming that Mother God denounced the use of drugs in the group, I don't even know why they bother saying that.
Yeah. They're like, we tried.
No, they're like, we don't do any drugs. We don't do anything. We keep our bodies pure. But then, like, it's very clear that they're all fucked up all the time. They wake up and do shrooms.
They probably want to do that to get more people in. They're like, we're clean. They get there. They're like, listen, we're actually not. But you know, we are. Right.
But we are. I mean, like, we're clean with the earth.
Well, they say in the thing, one of the things that I think it was, maybe it was Abigail or Aurora. She was like, you know, she used alcohol as a medicine. Alcohol can be used if you use it. It wasn't recreation.
Yeah,
it was a medicine. So that could be like the way that they got around it was like, we don't do drugs just to do them.
Yeah,
we do them because, like she needs them for medicine.
Yeah, they're of the earth. All of our drugs are of the earth. You know, like if you're, that's why I'm not on pills because those are of a 3D cabal. This is what they would say. It's like bullshit like this. And I only do things that come naturally from the earth. So that justifies to them doing, you know, like triple the amount of shrooms recommended. Like they're not, these people aren't microdosing. They're getting fucked up all the time.
I would love if they always said they would never take her to the hospital, even though they kind of reversed it at the end. Cause you could tell they were like, their lawyers were like, you got to say that you would have taken her to the hospital. Before they were like, if she told us to take us to the hospital, we never take her to that 3D hellhole.
Yeah.
And then, but I would just loved if they had, so we can get the documentary crew, just hearing a doctor share an ER doctor, like probably some like tiny Asian woman who has to hear them talk about how they're, you know, this is a 3D realm. And she's like, okay, like what can I do? What?
Yeah.
How do you need? She has liver failure. Like, guys, come on.
That's insane.
In 2018, the group makes it back to Colorado. So this whole time they've been like drifting. They're just circling fucking states because they don't have anywhere to like particularly. It's like, it sounds like glamorous, somewhat the most glamorous you can get with being a vagabond with no money. Like,
yeah,
you can be unhoused, but like, well, if I go to Florida, I have a place to stay. You're unhoused in Oregon, but you got a place to go. You just got to make it over there.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the stuff that I love about this cult is that they always figure out a place to be.
Yeah.
They always figure out how to get to that location and they always figure out how to set up and stream. Like they do more than I've ever done in my entire life.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for them.
They do it better than most YouTubers, most influencers.
Yeah.
So they rent a house in Colorado and set up what they call a mission base, a place for Amy's most devout followers to join her and live in absolute dedication to Amy and their journeys to ascension. Also in 2018, Jason Castillo and Ryan Kramer joined the group in Colorado. Jason had actually been a part of the online communities involving Amy since 2013. So he had been following this bullshit for a while.
Right.
I don't know how long Ryan had been following the cult before he joined them in person or if the men arrived and joined together, which I think they might have, but I'm not sure. I think they kind of knew each other just from being like general scumbags.
It's like when you go to a party and you both know the same person and you both arrive at the door at the same time. You're like, you're here for Maria's thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I guess we should walk in at the same time. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm Jason.
All of Amy's followers, both former followers and the ones who still believe her ascension, can agree on one thing. And we saw it in the documentary. When Jason and Ryan arrived, everything changed for the worse.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even the hippie lady who's like the outsider was like, yeah, everything went downhill for them when Jason showed up.
Yeah. I want to change my dun, dun, dun. Can I go, ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Not loving it.
Not loving it.
Also, can I be honest? I feel like the grossest part of this entire documentary series on Max was the shot of him taking a bath. Like, I didn't need to see that.
The Jason guy?
Yeah. I don't need to see Jason taking a bath.
He's gross like, no matter what he does. He's so icky.
But that was unnecessary. I feel like that was up there with like the worst thing that any true crime documentary has shown. Like, don't do that.
I think
don't
I blocked show, it out.
Don't and show somebody taking a like, I don't need to see that.
Was he taking a bath or taking a shower?
He was taking a bath.
Ugh. Either way, it's good. Yeah. Well, he's clearly one of those guys that's going to be around you shirtless no matter what.
Oh, for sure.
No matter, like, he will fight to be shirtless. It's really gross.
And his and their nipples are always rock hard.
And hairy. Yeah. It's so gross.
Yeah.
They smell. There's like that reek of like you had to walk 17 miles here because nobody wants to give you a ride anymore because you fucking smoke meth in their car. So you have meth BO.
Yeah, that Jason Castillo guy looks like a bunch of troubled dudes I've known throughout the years, all mixed into one person.
100%. So, and he is. Jason is a career criminal. He's had criminal charges in Nevada, Wisconsin, and Florida that included child neglect, DUIs, trespassing, and breaking and entering. So essentially, he's escalating all the time, as many criminals that we see. he also left behind children and a wife to join the cult. Although you could argue that both Jason and Amy's kids are better off.
Way better.
Without these fucking assholes.
It was the biggest gift they've given to them besides life.
Yeah.
Yes.
And even that's just like not really much of a gift. That's your fucking parent.
It's horrible that they didn't have that. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, the oldest son is like studying biology in Germany and the daughter wants to be a nurse. It's like,
great.
Yeah, great. This is the best outcome for them.
Yeah.
You know.
So as we know from the documentary, Jason's meth addiction quickly became an issue within the cult. Everyone smoked weed and drank and used hallucinogens, but I can imagine that an aggro meth head really ruins the communal vibes.
Yeah, it tends to do that. Aggro meth heads tend to ruin any environment that they're in, let alone ones of you know, trying to seek peace.
Yeah. But I don't want to diminish Amy's absolute control over everyone. It's hard to tell without a firsthand account of when the extreme control tactics started, but they obviously got worse when Jason and Ryan joined them. A number of former members have come forward to talk about all the different brainwashing methods that Amy had. So those who lived with Amy were sleep deprived. They were allowed to sleep only 4 hours a night. They had to be awake by 5 a.m. to be ready to tend to Amy around the clock, which I don't really understand because she's not getting up at 5.
No.
But I guess they have to like turn, like she just lays in bed all day most of the time at this point. She gets drunk and she's either sitting in a chair or laying in bed in the house.
And she's not eating right now, right?
She eats very minimally. She mostly drinks, smokes weed, and does other drugs and takes the colloidal silver.
Maybe they're like, make her pancakes. And they're like, she's not going to eat pancakes, dude. Just fucking make them. They make them and she's like, meh.
It's like it's like those old British tales where like the everybody gets up early in the morning to do everything for the house and make this elaborate breakfast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
God. And nobody is eating today, sir.
Well, we've just made all these oats.
Yeah, they've made.
It's Downton Abbey.
Yeah. So, as we know, money was fully controlled by Miguel in the cult and was only used for basic necessities for members, but also used for whatever Amy wanted. We saw in the documentary that she asked for a fucking golf cart and they get her enough money for a golf cart.
Yeah.
And a pool, a jacuzzi, all these stupid things. But yeah. It's all still like really trashy versions of all the things, which is what's really funny.
That's great. You know,
like, she asked for like a pool, and of course it's an above ground pool.
Yep.
From like Amazon.
Gross.
People were giving everything they had to Mother God because she made them believe she could heal them of all their pain and trauma, and that they were now a chosen one, one of the few that would live with Mother in another dimension. No one was paid for working around the clock to cook and clean for and feed Amy. Everything was shared amongst the other members. Food was seen as an earthly burden that should be ignored as much as possible. So, explains the pizza thing. All of the women in the group were extremely thin, and the men weren't much better off. Amy talked about being drunk and high on video all the time, often with both things in hand, the joint and the drink. And new cult members were initiated with an inappropriately strong dose of hallucinogens. That's how they started them in the cult. Like, welcome. Your first assignment is to take like 30 grams of shrooms.
Whoa.
And find yourself. We'll hear more about a personal account of that later. Not my personal account, somebody from the cult. Shortly after Jason and Ryan's arrival, Amy named Ryan as her new Father God. Before he was Father God, he was referring to himself in the cult as El Mariah. But just one day later, Jason had managed to change Amy's mind. He said that he felt he was the true Father God, not Ryan. So Amy meditated on it for hours and then said, okay, I was wrong, but I was right. Ryan is a Father God, but he's actually Father of the Multiverse. And Jason is my Father God. So...
I mean, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're going to be Father God or something, I mean, it might as well be the multiverse.
Yeah. I feel like she was like, let me meditate on it and then also show me your penis. And then
we'll. Yeah.
Absolutely. She's like, okay, let's see what you're packing first because I'm into the blonde D over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, girthy. Okay. You're the guy.
Yeah.
Good for El Mariah. Good for El Mariah, you know, because I mean, multiverses are getting really big at this time.
Yeah,
you know, very popular in popular culture. Zuckerberg's got one. Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. You know, Infinity War is going on. Sure.
So unsurprisingly, Jason's alpha male mentality opened up the door for abuse towards members. Well, more abuse, I guess we should say. There are a couple of ex-members who have posted online regarding instances of both Jason and Ryan assaulting women in front of others. They didn't really talk about that in the documentary, but it's like these guys targeted women a lot. Jason in particular loved making everyone feel unsafe and on edge all the time. So it's no wonder that when he smiles and introduces himself in the documentary, he presents himself as the one who, quote, killed Mother God.
Aye, aye, aye.
Mm-hmm.
Amy and Jason reveled in the control. And they referred to everyone, believers and non-believers, as whores. And I think we went over this. And they used other derogatory phrases. And gone, really, truly, were the days of indigo children. It wasn't that fun anymore. While Amy stayed in her bedroom most of the time, Jason had the run of the house.
Uh-oh.
If house members showed a desire to want to do something that was not a normal practice, like talk to a real family member, they were chastised. And punished for, quote, hurting mother. The guilt was laid on thick with claims that everyone, the entire world, was physically, emotionally, and cosmically hurting Mother God. Their punishments included having to atone and apologize to Amy for hours on camera. Write about it on fucking Medium.com.
Medium. I forgot about Medium.
Yeah. Oh, it's present in this story. It's come. It's that won't be the first time. They were also forced to endure verbal abuse from either Amy or Jason or other members of the cult. Like, you either had to give or take verbal abuse for hours. You just had to stand there while somebody yelled at you and pointed out every flaw about you and everything wrong with you for hours. And they called it stripping the ego. They even received daily report cards about their energy.
Oh my God.
That's such fucking bullshit. Insane.
So stupid. Oh.
That would drive me crazy.
It's insane.
I would start arguing semantics. I'd be like, why do I have a B now? I had an A. What point? What's the point percentage? What are you? How are you grading this off of?
I don't like the way you. I don't like the way you dried your hair earlier.
Your energy was off for it.
Yeah, it was way off. Way off. Yes.
I guess they probably don't give letters. They probably give like, here is an upside down unicorn. That's bad.
But it's just a unicorn that you turned upside down.
Yeah, upside down is bad.
Oh, okay.
If they get a cactus, they're like, oh, it's like, no, that's really good. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just like stickers. Never 100% sure.
Like you can't be, because every shipment of stickers they get in every week is different. So, you know, they have to make it up as you go. You can't. They don't have the budget to get the same stickers.
Yeah. Oh, man. I got to.
If you get a grape job, you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to. That's so cool. Oh, is that bad? Yes. Yes. It's bad.
I got a Garfield posing against a pickup truck. What is that?
Oh, my. You're the favorite.
And they're like, we don't even know at this point.
Yeah.
So that's how Amy and those that were as part of her immediate little circle broke other people down. They took away any sense of self-worth. And, you know, when it came to money, it wasn't just donations. It was also social security checks and disability checks from members. But also there were members who gave up social security and disability checks from other family members.
Yes. Of course.
Yeah.
Oh man. That's rough.
Then on August 1st, 2018, followers were informed by people who lived in the house that dark witches had attacked Amy.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks later, the audience was told by Archaea Faith that yet another assassination attempt had taken place on Amy's life, during which a sword sliced one of her hearts. And she says that the etheric have been doing surgery on it for many hours, and mom is throwing up diarrhea. She was shaking.
She was throwing up diarrhea.
No, like, it's like, that's how she phrased it. But that.
Oh, oh my God.
The little kid in me is so, so elated right now.
Yeah.
I really think Amy just had bad fish on August 1st, 2018.
Yeah.
She probably did.
Yeah.
Or she was going through like withdrawal or the bends or something. Like, it's just like so many other things. I love that. Like, also a favorite thing of mine in the documentary is when she was sleeping and they're like, oh, she's having a meeting with the, you know, the Galactics. Yeah. And it's like, no, she's fucking sleeping. Yeah. You're watching her sleep.
Honey, I could see you on the live feed just being like, she's throwing up diarrhea.
You saw how happy I was?
Yes.
I was truly 8 years old just now.
Yay! They would have punished you so hard.
That's like whenever I'm in a meeting and somebody says, here's what we have to do. And then I go, did you say do?
Immediately, I'm just like, I can't wait to write a situation where one of my characters is just like, dude, I'm fucking throwing up diarrhea in here. Like, it's so gross.
I think if you said that at work, people would be like, just go home.
Yeah, go like, home. Go home right now.
Okay, moving on to 2019. This is a big year for them. In March of 2019, Love Has Won became a 501c3 nonprofit charitable organization.
Ooh.
It's a big deal for them.
Sweet.
Miguel Lamboy filed the paperwork. That same year, though, on the other opposite spectrum of that, two disturbing videos of Amy catch fire online thanks to the watchdog groups that have been set up of people trying to get their family members out of Love Has Won.
Mm.
One shows Amy physically abusing, choking, and spitting on a cat during a live stream.
What?
Have you guys seen these videos?
No. No.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not in the documentary, I don't think. So they're still up.
No.
You can go, and I'll give you guys a link if you want it. You can go to Rising Above, Love Has Won, is the watchdog group that was put up when this was all still very active and Amy was alive. And all they did really was they just had to watch the live stream, which they did anyway, to like try to see glimpses of their fucking missing family members.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah. So in one of these videos, Amy does that to a cat. She like grabs the cat. She's like holding it by like, you know, in a really cruel manner. It's super sad. And then she like, I think she really just ends up like fucking throwing the cat out of her hands at the end. It's really, really annoying. It's very triggering. But even worse, the other one shows Amy holding a toddler. And when the toddler won't stop crying, another member of the group takes the child and is instructed by Amy to put the baby in a closet until the baby submits, in her words. As the stream continues, the baby can be heard crying from the closet while a room full of adults continue to listen to Amy blather on.
I don't like that.
It's terrible.
Yeah, they didn't say this at all in the documentary.
Well, to them, Mother God can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to come to this podcast to get the real skinny.
Yeah. And there's a few kids in the cult because their stupid ass parents dragged them into this cult.
Ugh, so. Poor fucking kids. This is stupid.
See, that's the kind of stuff that if you're going to be in a cult, like be in the cult, that's fine. Whatever. Don't drag kids into the cult.
Yeah. Leave the kids behind.
Yeah.
Although people are outraged when these videos go, because these videos went semi-viral. People were outraged and they're like, this fucking bitch, but nothing really changes. Amy's behavior and her cult stay exactly the same. All they did was that they simply deleted those particular videos, but it's all right. Cause Rising Above, Love Has Won still has them up. Also in 2019, Love Has Won sets up a GoFundMe campaign to send Amy to Disney World. Eye roll.
It's so ridiculous. It's so upsetting. It's just like, God, whatever. Okay. Yeah.
And they have a goal of $15,000. The GoFundMe is closed without reaching its goal. But Amy is driven from Colorado to Orlando. So I'm not sure what happened there.
I think
maybe somebody was like, hey, come stay here in Orlando for a couple of weeks with me. And she's like, oh, good. I'll go to Disneyland while I'm there. But they couldn't get $15,000 that they apparently need to visit Disney World.
Yeah, she wants a lot of merch.
There's also a moment in the documentary where Amy's mom reaches out to her and is like, hey, like, or no, sister, sorry. It's like, hey, come home. We'll take care of you. And she goes, oh, well, I have four people taking care of me right now. So I don't think you're going to be able to take care of me. And it's just at that moment, I realized how selfish she was. Like, she was just like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to lift a finger ever. It's so selfish and lazy, man.
Yeah.
Fucking lazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. She's a dog shit person.
Yeah. So by this time in 2019, and for a while now, Lauren Sanchez and Ashley Peluso, known to the group as Archaea Faith and Archaea Hope, had become two of the more prominent members of the group. These are the ladies that we see in the documentary the most. They were featured more prominently on the live streams and spoke for hours on end about Mother God and escaping from a 3D world, et cetera, et cetera. On April 9th of 2019, the group began publishing on Medium.com. And under like five under multiple usernames. They posted multiple times a day. I guess she's in Florida. And now they're using Medium to raise even more money to move her back to Colorado. And this is what they say in one of their posts. In the last month alone, Mom has had to move to five different locations. Imagine having pain and processing in every cell of your being and being the vessel that anchors in planetary energies every moment. Mom simply requires a stable place where she can anchor energies in. Mom is currently based in Florida, and hundreds of hours have been expended by the team to find Mama a home. Mom has lived in RVs, trailers, and vacation homes for most of the past decade, as well as living in the forest and being homeless. Her body has been at maximum capacity for too long, and she deserves a larger space where her energies can flow comfortably. Being boxed in with an auric field that processes 8 billion energy systems has Mom itching in her skin.
Pass it on.
I'm just gonna, the next time I make a doctor's appointment, I'm just gonna put in the line, why are you seeing the doctor? My body's been at maximum capacity
for too long and I deserve a larger space.
Yeah. This auric flow is not working for me. And then after they post, like I said, they post multiple times a day, and after every post there's this exhaustive list of stuff that they offer via their website and their quote services. And I'm not going to read them all aloud because it's so long, but here's their sales pitch. Okay. Actually, Colin, do you want
to
do it?
Yeah, I would love to. I was just going to ask you, okay, can I do it?
Yeah. Are you on it?
Yes, I am. Feel blocked, drained, fatigued, restless, nausea, achy, ready to give up? We can help. We're preparing everyone for a full planetary ascension and can provide you with the tools and techniques to assist you into home into the light. The first contact ground crew team will help you get ready for ascension, which is underway. New spiritual sessions have now been created for an entire family, including the Crystal Children, group family healing and therapy. We have just began these and they are incredible. Highly recommend for any family struggling together in these times of intense change. Order now.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if you were like a kid and your parents were just like, hey guys, we're feeling blocked as a family.
Yep, I can.
So we're going to.
I can.
We're going to try some intuitive ascension.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As a family.
Absolutely.
Kids.
Oh, wait. I forgot that your dad was the one who said that he like, I forgot the story he told me at the wedding. I think it was something like the Prophet Muhammad told him that you would get married or something. And I was like, oh, hey, sounds amazing.
Yeah, many times. My dad really kind of like bought into the, like, he takes like the texts of being a Muslim, like literally.
Oh, yeah. You know?
So they're like, the right hand is the hand of God. He's like, I'm reaching for food. He slaps my hand. If it's a left hand, he's like, that's not how you reach for food. It's just, you're just like, is it more than this? And he's like, much more.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can imagine.
No, anybody who's like, who takes religious texts literally, you're always just like,
know. It's why? Just like, dude, come on. You've made it this far through life. You're smarter than this. But no, but they're not. They're dumb.
Don't you talk to me that way, you left-handed devil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whistling was a sign of the devil in my house.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
so
goodness.
I remember like if I was like humming something or like, my dad would be like, what is that? And I'd be like, sorry.
I'll never forget that I was at a backyard birthday party for a friend of my friend Holly. And we were doing that thing, light as a feather, stiff as a board, mm-hmm. you know, where you put your fingers under somebody and then you can raise them up. Mm-hmm. And a full grown adult, I would say well into his 40s, came up to us with tears in his eyes. So upset because he said we were going to open a portal to hell. and that we had to stop what we were doing. And I just remember looking at him thinking, like, this man has a family. Like, this man is in charge of other humans.
You don't know the damage that you've done.
Yeah. It's like, I went home going, this man's crazy. He went home thinking, I just saved a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. From hell. Like, he's like, I am Constantine.
Yes. No, he walks up. He's like, stop what you're doing. You're about to ruin. And you're like, the image and the style that you're used to. Yeah. He's like, don't make a mockery of this.
So at the end of every post, they claim to be raising money for something called Crystal Schools for Children, which was a scam that Amy had been pulling since she was with fucking Amareth. She told people that she, back then, she told like the visitor that like went to the motel and was like, holy shit, this is not what I thought. She told that guy that she was working as a teacher at the Crystal Schools while they lived in the motel. And that's how she made her living. It's crazy. Wow. This Crystal School for Children is still around today. It's a scam run by another cult member.
Damn.
We'll get to later. But all they did, they just keep taking each other's language and like adding a word and running another scam. It's crazy.
Oh man.
I don't imagine I'll be applying for any jobs anytime soon, but if I do, they're gonna be like, I'm a college graduate, and they're gonna be like, where'd you go? I'll be like, Crystal School?
Crystal Schools for Children.
Schools for Children. Really? What'd you study there? Crystal, mostly. We smoked it.
Rocks.
Yeah, I went to school for rocks.
I went into NA when I was 12 after 7 years of hard drug use.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So also that same month, and this is the last we'll say about the blog, but it was a big part of Medium was a big part of their fucking marketing campaign for a while. There's a bunch of posts from other people from around the world that have joined the cult, like attesting their faith to Amy. And the two most interesting ones are one that is a dedication from a four-month-old that somebody writes in. From the point of view of the baby, thanking Mother God. And the other one is a message from a white man in South Africa who claims he was Malcolm X in a past life.
Wow.
Incredible. And they have God to thank for all of this and their new lives and their eye-opening journeys.
Does that guy currently own SpaceX?
He's like, I feel like Malcolm X, I am a victim of the government.
I wish he would say that in interviews out of nowhere. So just like, so what's going on? He's like, I kind of feel like Malcolm X.
Oh, we're getting there. He's definitely going to start making correlations soon enough. Trust me. We're getting there.
Oh man.
The last thing we'll talk about for 2019 is that same year, a man named Robert Foley joined the cult. As far as his family could track, Robert had given the cult $10,000 and a blank check. And then Robert disappeared. He has not been seen in any live streams or updated any of his friends or family, or even checked or been active on his Facebook profile since 2019.
That dude's in a hole somewhere.
He's gone.
That dude's in a hole. Yeah.
Oh, has his family tried, or does he?
Everyone has tried searching. Yeah, everyone has tried. Like, he's a missing person.
Yeah,
like in a way. I mean, I don't know how far legally you can take a missing person case when he's the one that willingly walked away in the first place. He left his family and his friends and moved to Colorado to be with the cult. He gave them a bunch of money, and then he's just gone.
That is suspicious. That's one thing that I will say that I, like you were talking earlier about the documentary, is that I feel the documentary really didn't highlight any culty behaviors other than, like, you know, drug use and, you know, like constantly praising, but there wasn't any like nefarious, like usually when you get like a, you know, a cult, you're always just like, okay, where's the sex, weird sex stuff, or, you know, the rape or the, you know, the child abuse or whatever. And we didn't get any of that. But now that you're talking about it, it's like, yeah, there was definitely some shady shit going on. You know,
of course there was. Of course there was. It's a bunch of grown adults who, it's idle hands, basically.
Yeah.
Not to get like all doctriney about it, but it is idle hands and lots of drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And too much free time. I mean, we've all done that, right? Most of us learned.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these are,
I don't know. It's,
Yeah. I guess I should take out the thing where I say we've all done that. We haven't.
Just stop. I was like, man.
Women.
You could just say we've all done that, Lori.
Lori. Your time on the nudist colony where everybody just did heroin all day.
Yeah. And then they kicked me out for ordering a pizza. Oh, sons of bitches.
It's Domino's, guys. So like, exactly.
Yeah.
That's not pizza.
Yeah. We're a Pizza Hut family. Well, you can take your Pizza Hut and shove it up your ass.
Yeah. They just didn't talk about this stuff. And I think, like I said, it's because the filmmaker had to make a compromise. One or the other.
That does make a lot of sense. So, yeah.
Yeah. But Vice did, and, you know, Dateline did. There's plenty of other shows that have.
Wow.
But a lot of stuff is still left out. It mostly focuses on Amy, and I want to make sure that it's known that the entire cult is a fucking problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, cults are never good. This is my blanket statement. Cults are never good. Like, there's never like a cult that's like, actually, this is like a pretty chill place. Like,
you even the one you were talking about earlier. You literally said that earlier.
No, I said that this was the best outcome you could hope for a cult. That's what I was saying. Like, this is the best version of what a cult could be. It's never good.
Guys,
you're never going to find a cult where.
Lori just texted me. She said, holy shit. Oh, my God, dude, I love cults.
Cash, you know, I text you my actually what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. I saw an opening and I was like, oh, let me.
Thank God.
Chime in.
The disappearance of Robert Foley is where we're gonna stop for episode one of Love Has Won and pick it back up next time in 2020.
Ooh.
And Love Has Won 1 year before
COVID times
and 1 year before Amy kicks the bucket.
If I may be like that guy Jay or whoever the Gandalf guy was, we'll see you in 2020.
Glenn Anderson.
I am definitely Glenn Anderson. Goodbye. He trollops off into the fucking forest.
Oh my God, that's the best. That's awesome.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Imagine him coming out of a bush and going back into the bush.
Backwards.
Yeah.